The Hebrew scripture reading comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, and it reads, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone?" There ends the scripture reading. I remember when I first began dating Unita, I initiated a very awkward conversation. It involved a lot of hemming around the hedges before I finally revealed a fact about myself that I feared she would judge negatively. With much stammering and trepidation, I said that I was not only religious, but that I also studied religion. It took me a while longer to tell her that I might one day become a pastor. 6 years later, my own behavior now strikes me as incredibly odd and embarrassing. It's like watching one of those reality dating TV dating shows and finding it hard to believe how inept some men are in having a simple conversation. Nevertheless, that was me. I had this tremendous fear of being judged, even if I knew that my being religious was perfectly defensible and, in fact, wonderful. My fear at that time indicates a lot about both common perceptions of the religious and my own lack of confidence. After all, how can someone studying how to preach be afraid of telling people he's religious? This isn't the kind of story I would have shared during my trial sermon here. While this story could be used to illustrate many things, the reason I'm sharing it with you this morning has less to do with my confidence levels back then as a single male than with how Unita responded. She responded with a lot of grace and affirmation. She repeatedly stressed that she was open to whatever my religious views were and wouldn't judge me in the least. After a while, I actually started to believe her. Her tone of voice and friendly demeanor were too reassuring for me not to trust her. The experience was remarkably freeing. It let me know that this was a person with whom I could be myself around. To win her over, I didn't have to pretend that I'm something I'm not. It's that sense of freedom and trust that I think contributes to the giddiness of a new relationship. It's because one has established that sense of freedom and trust that one can stay up all night talking about everything from one's worst childhood experiences to one's biggest dreams for the future. It's because one has established that sense of freedom and trust that one can experience that amazing feeling of being truly known and understood by someone else. It's because of all this that a relationship creates a space in which one can grow. What Unita did in that early conversation of ours was give me the first of many gifts that not only made me feel better about myself, but also made me a better person. There is something about being in a relationship with someone who affirms you for who you are that can give one a lot of strength, confidence, and courage for everyday living as well as the more difficult moments. Our scripture for today is sometimes read at weddings, and it captures this idea of two people giving strength to one another. I happened to be reflecting on this scripture this past week when I learned of Gloria Ross's stroke. The scripture seemed to almost literally relate to Charlie and Gloria in that moment. "For if they fall, one will lift up the other." If we were to tease out the theology behind this dynamic, we might say that God is incarnate in the life-giving and sustaining bonds of love shared through intimate connection with one another. In thinking about married couples, it occurred to me that God doesn't just work through the bonds connecting those who are married. God also works through the bonds of the community that surrounds and supports that couple. When I do weddings, I always suggest that not only the couples declare their intent to one another, but that the entire community gathered for the wedding read in unison the community's declaration of intent. The community declares that they share in the purpose and commitment of the occasion. They promise to affirm the marriage and give their steadfast encouragement, support, and love. The vital significance of this hit home for me this past week when I listened to a segment of an NPR radio show called StoryCorps. This show features everyday people telling particularly meaningful stories about their own lives. In the story I heard, Bobby and Sandy Coat Whitaker talk about their life together as a lesbian couple. They are now 58 and 59 years old, respectively. They have been together for more than 40 years. They recall the feelings that they had when they were 19 years old and realized how totally in love they were. Sandy remembers the agonizing, dispiriting feeling that she had found the person with whom she would spend the rest of her life, but couldn't have anyone else to celebrate it with her. She says, when something feels so good and you have to hide it, it takes away a little bit of the joy of finding someone. As a young couple, Bobby and Sandy moved to Bobby's hometown in Ohio, and on their second day there, Bobby's mother told Sandy that she would have to leave town within 3 days because it was a small town and Bobby's father was a prominent doctor, and they shouldn't disgrace him, his practice, and his extended family. Bobby was then sent to a psychiatrist to be fixed. It didn't work. It was not until after they had been together for 33 years that Bobby and Sandy were finally able to stand for the first time before their family and friends and declare that they loved each other, that they cared for each other, and that they would care for each other for the rest of their lives. The instigator of the decision that they should celebrate a civil union together was none other than Bobby's mother. By that point, Bobby's mother had decided that her daughter had the right to be married. Bobby's mother had been diagnosed with a brain hemorrhage, and she was determined to walk her daughter down the aisle before she died. The ceremony was held in the backyard of Bobby's mother, and with three ministers and lots of friends from church, they had the ceremony. One of the ministers commented that Bobby and Sandy had done it backwards. They did all of the committing stuff, and then they got married. And remembering that special day, Sandy shares a testimony to the power of community in surrounding a married couple. She says, "I didn't believe that there was another level we could reach. But just having the ceremony and stating publicly our commitment and having our friends and family there happy for us was sort of like being 19 again and celebrating our love." 4 years later, the two would finally be legally married in Massachusetts. By doing the Marriage Equality March, we are helping to make sure that couples like Sandy and Bobby have the experience of being surrounded by a community that supports and affirms them in their vows to each other. We're helping to create the legal and cultural conditions that enable same-sex couples to strengthen their bonds with one another and their surrounding communities. As I march, I'm going to think about Bobby and Sandy. I'm going to think about that feeling of being 19 again. I want more couples to experience that kind of joy and happiness. I want more couples to feel the encouragement, support, and love of a community in their commitment to each other. Amen.